The following program is paid for by Rick Hughes Evangelistic Ministries.
Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, please stick around. It won't be long, just a few short minutes of motivation, inspiration, education, and always without any manipulation, because we're not trying to con you, we're not trying to sell you anything, we're not going to ask you for anything. We're just wanting to give you the Word of God, and hopefully if you hear it, you'll be able to understand God's plan for your life. And if that happens, then you can orient and adjust to the plan. That's up to you. But it's been my honor to give you this radio show for 20 years now, and we'll press on as long as the Lord allows us to do so. Thank you for giving me a few moments of your time this morning. And we just finished up a series on the family. I think you might have heard, if you've been listening very long, you heard the last few voices, the last few messages on the family, if you listen regularly. And the last one that I did dealt with your spiritual life, the why in family. Stood for your spiritual life. And that's a subject I just cannot let go. I'm sorry, but I've got to go back to your spiritual life. Because there's an urgency in my soul's mentality to communicate how important it is for you to understand the mechanics of what we call spirituality and the difference between spirituality and spiritual maturity, because they are not the same thing. They are two different things. The word spirituality is a term used for the filling of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, if we are in a state of sin, we may still be performing some human good tasks like giving money to the church or singing in the choir or helping out in the community or promoting some cause, some political cause that might even be evil, but we are not spiritual. We are carnal if we are not filled with the Holy Spirit. So at this very moment, right now, if you're listening to me, I'm telling you, you are either spiritual, filled with the Holy Spirit, or you're carnal, quenching the Holy Spirit. The difference is there sin in your life? Is there unconfessed sin in your life you haven't dealt with? Remember, Rebound says, if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us and to purify us from all wrongdoing. And when you fail to rebound or name or recover from any sin, you remain in a state of carnality. But spirituality and carnality are both mutually exclusive. It's like a dark room and a bright room. You're either filled with the Holy Spirit or you're not. On the other hand, the term spiritual life refers to something completely different. Your spiritual life will not function on a substitute that some people call good works, or I'll call it human good or evil. This leads us to the question, and think about this, will you please? Can I be filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, that means no unconfessed sin in my life, and still not function as a spiritually mature Christian? And the answer is yes, absolutely yes. It's found in the difference between sin and evil. And here's what the difference is. Sin, think about this now, listen to me, sin is an act of your volition. You decide to create a sin. You make a choice. You know it's wrong. The Holy Spirit tells you it's wrong. The Scripture tells you it's wrong. You do it anyhow. That's a sin. It's an act of our volition. You do it and I do it. We both do it. Evil, on the other hand, is a system. It's not necessarily an act. It's a system. And it can be a system of good works or good deeds, which appear to be very legitimate Christian production, but in reality, all of the good works or the good deeds, the evil, will be burned up at the judgment seat of Christ because it's labeled as being wood, hay, and stubble. I'll read to you out of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 11 through 15. Here's what it says. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. That's a builder's metaphor for building a home. So consider you lay the concrete foundation down, you're going to build on top of the foundation. So the foundation is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon the foundation, and here it comes, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble. These are two different categories. The gold, silver, and precious stones is going to be a rewardable category, and the wood, hay, and stubble is the good deeds and is not rewardable. So the verse goes on to say in 13, verse 13, 1 Corinthians 3:13, every man's production or every man's work will be made manifest, for the day will declare it. It will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he has built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. But if any man's work shall be burned up, then he will suffer loss. But, here's a conjunctional contrast, he will be saved, yet so as by fire. This is not about you losing your salvation. It's about you losing your rewards in time and in eternity, because you failed to live the spiritual life. Not necessarily that you failed to be filled with the Holy Spirit, but you failed to produce divine good production called gold, silver, and precious stones. Now listen, it's not a sin to feed a hungry person. It's not a sin to promote a system that offers services to the disadvantaged. But it definitely can be a process called evil if you substitute that for spiritual good production. Spiritual good production only comes through the filling of the Holy Spirit. Anything good you do for God when you are not filled with the Holy Spirit is wood, hay, and stubble. So, for example, if you go to church and you sing in the choir and you give money and you go visit and take the choir tour, whatever, and you have known sin in your life, you're doing a good thing, but in the wrong way, and it will be burned up at the judgment seat of Christ because it's evil. It's you trying to produce your own righteousness, and it doesn't work. You see, Satan is the originator of all evil. Evil is the policy that he uses as the ruler of this world. And evil is the modus operandi of Satan from the time of his fall throughout the angelic revolution, and even down to the point where he became the ruler of this world. He is the ruler of this world. The Bible tells us that. We don't belong here. We're sojourners. We're just passing through. Our home is in heaven, the Greek word ouranos. Our home's in heaven. But evil, the term evil, is Satan's failure to produce a system of good works in mankind and in society that would bring up a pseudo millennium. He doesn't want to go to the lake of fire. And so if he can produce in time a pseudo millennium where everybody's good, everybody does good, then he can show God he's just as good as God is. And of course we know that's not possible because every person has a sin nature. And evil, again, is a policy that Satan produces human good, human works, right thing, wrong way. All evil of Satan has two sources. It can come from sin, or it can come from erroneous thinking. That erroneous thinking is called human good, and that's the motivation to produce evil. Where the sin of self-righteousness and you add to that human good, when they combine together, then in a nation you have a saturation of evil. So again, listen carefully. If you have a combination of self-righteousness plus human good, right thing, wrong way, they combine to saturate the nation in evil. So just as grace and the Word of God or Scripture represents the genius of God in relation to the human race, thus God's game plan is grace, for by grace are you saved through faith, God's grace, then evil represents the genius of Satan in relation to the human race. So God has a plan called grace. Satan has a plan called evil. What's the difference? Evil is a counterfeit. In salvation, we're saved by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Under the concept of evil, we're saved by faith and plus baptism and plus good works and plus giving up smoking and plus doing something. What evil does is it adds a twist to grace. It adds something on to grace. And thus nullifies the grace. So keep that in mind. Evil represents the genius of Satan, and he is best at it in religion, where he promotes evil so people will think they're going to heaven. People will think they're saved because they did some good deeds called evil. So recovery from sin can be instantaneous. If you sin by mental attitude sin or sin of the tongue or some overt sin, then you can use the rebound technique of 1 John 1:9. But if you get involved in evil, well, it takes a long time to recover from that. The only way you're ever going to get out of evil is by learning God's plan and recovering from your deception. My very own pastor used to call it a big word. I had to have a dictionary to look it up, what he called it. He called it post-salvation epistemological rehabilitation. That's right, post-salvation epistemological rehabilitation, which meant learning God's plan and recovering from my deception. So the number one promoter of evil in this world is what? Religion, organized religion. On the other hand, spiritual maturity, which is what I want you to do, I want you to grow to be a spiritually mature individual, not just be filled with the Holy Spirit and spirituality, but to be spiritually mature. Again, two different things. Spiritual maturity is a state of being where the believer has grown to an autonomous position of spiritual independence, and you are now able to stand alone, if need be, and replicate the life of Christ by thinking divine viewpoint and functioning as a Christian warrior inside the devil's world. Now listen, in order to lessen the impact of the Word of God, Satan has a plan. Satan doesn't want people to learn the Word of God because it breaks them free from evil. So if he can lessen the impact of the Word of God, he'll do it. How does he do it? Well, hold your hat when I tell you this. He does it by dumbing down believers. Satan can dumb down believers. He does this by lessening the importance of the Scriptures and strengthening the appeal of emotions and worship. Never forget what I'm about to read to you. Hebrews 4:12. And think about the difference between emotion and Scripture. Hebrews 4:12, for the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The Word of God. That's why you hear me giving you Scriptures, not illustrations of nice little doggy illustrations. Isaiah 40, verse 8. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the Word of God will stand forever. The Word of God. Satan wants to dumb you down. He doesn't want you to learn the Word of God. He will do anything to stop you from learning the Word of God. Some way to distract you, some way to discourage you, some way to get you into some church where they don't teach the Word of God. Oh, they may sing songs, and they may sing praise and worship, and they may get all excited, but they don't teach you the protocol plan of God. In Romans 10:17, faith comes through hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The Bible is the Word of God. Pick it up, read it, and you will hear God speaking to you. It's the Word of God in the inventory of your stream of consciousness that feeds your thoughts and gives you the insight needed for you to live the Christian life and bring maximum glorification to God. If you only get taught the Scriptures for 30 minutes on Sunday morning, you're never going to learn enough to sustain you in time of frustration or failure. You've got to have more than that. It's imperative. 30 minutes shot on Sunday morning is not learning the Word of God. Extended song services, special music from talented performers. They might be entertaining and enjoyable, and you sit there waving your hands back and forth, but it doesn't plant the Scripture in the mentality of your soul. The sad thing is that modern-day Christian celebrities often travel from city to city, hosting services designed to inspire you in your walk with Christ. The problem is they charge admission. Yeah, that's right. You got to pay to go hear them speak. And they sell materials at each of these events, like T-shirts and hats and books. Listen, nobody is authorized to sell the Scriptures ever, regardless of their celebrity status. In 2 Corinthians 2:17, Paul wrote, "Unlike so many, we do not peddle the word of God for profit. On the contrary, in Christ we speak before men with sincerity as those sent from God." This is exactly why we don't charge for any of our books. We don't charge for any of our material. You don't sell the word of God. Our objective for you and me is to become spiritually mature believers. Not just spirituality, not just filled with the Holy Spirit from time to time, but spiritually mature believers that are filled with the Holy Spirit 24/7 and learning Scripture 24/7 and operating under those Scriptures. We do it by learning and applying the Word of God to our inventory of ideas and our soul's mentality. Your soul has mentality, your soul has volition, your soul has a consciousness, and your soul has a self-consciousness. The mentality of your soul is where you live the spiritual life. It's what you think. And this absolutely cannot happen unless you are filled with the Holy Spirit and unless you're studying the Scriptures on a daily basis. In 2 Timothy 2:15, we have the command, the mandate from the Word of God. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Study is an imperative mood verb. It's not a request. It's a command. To show yourself approved, can you be disapproved? Yes. Where? The judgment seat of Christ. All that good work you did, all those good choir trips you took, all that money you gave, burned up at the judgment seat of Christ as wood, hay, and stubble. Because why? You were not filled with the Holy Spirit, and you did it in your human good efforts. It turned out to be nothing but evil. So we don't need to be ashamed. What does that mean? We want to hear God say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." So to do that, we must rightly divide the Word of God. Can you wrongly divide the Word of God? Yes. That's why I implore you to get under the ministry of a well-qualified pastor who can teach you Scripture the correct way, line upon line, word upon word, and not just give you a lot of little stories and illustrations. It's really pitiful that the believer who wants to grow spiritually, and I talk to people every day about this, they want to grow spiritually. They contact me and say, "Where can I find a well-qualified pastor? Where can I find somebody to teach me something?" It's pitiful that people like this want to grow spiritually, and they can't even find a pastor that will teach them on a consistent basis, or who has to purchase some devotional book so he can get a short appetizer of spiritual insight daily. That's right. They may have to go by the bookstore and buy somebody's daily devotional and read it. No, that's not growing spiritually. That's an appetizer. Spiritual maturity represents the maximum spiritual growth of the believer in time. Spiritual maturity is the objective for keeping God, keeping you here in time after you got saved. He could have took you on to heaven, but he left you for a reason. Spiritual maturity is the divine objective for each one of us in time. The purpose for all commands of Scripture related to time, and it's the only way that we will ever glorify the Lord Jesus Christ in time. And it is the basis for temporal and eternal rewards and blessings. Now, I said a lot in that paragraph. I probably don't need to say it again, but I want to quote one more thing again. Therefore, spiritual maturity is the divine objective for the believer in time. God wants you to grow up and to be a spiritually mature believer. And it's the purpose for all commands of Scripture related to time. Study, grow, learn. These are all commands. The only way you can glorify the Lord Jesus Christ in time is to learn to operate the spiritual life and reproduce Christ in your life. And that's the basis for all blessings, both in time and eternity. With all the social media impact in today's world, the opportunity for deception is found around every corner, I promise you. I'm amazed at the churches that promote activities. What do? They want to attract the little children. Ultimately, come for the Halloween party. Come for the Christmas party. We got dancing balloons, and we got hot dogs, and we got popcorn, and come, let us entertain you. And it's all designed to ultimately recruit the parents. And I'm all for getting mom and dad into Christ. I'm all for teaching them the Word of God. I'm all for the kids learning to come to church. but I'm not all for using gimmicks and games to try to recruit the children. I'm amazed at the churches that don't know how to address the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, our Lord Jesus Christ, and I shudder when I hear them talk about that. They talk about the Lord Jesus Christ as if he was their best buddy or their best friend. I hear them talk about Jesus this and Jesus that and the Jesus way and the Jesus that. He is the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. When you talk about him, address him properly. In Philippians 2:10-11, listen to this. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in things of heaven, things in the earth, and things under the earth. That's how powerful that name is. He's not Jesus. He's the Lord Jesus Christ. And every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord to the glory of God the Father. Our Lord Jesus Christ became a man. He emptied himself of his divine operational assets. Theologians call that hypostatic union. It's called God and man in one body forever. He's the God-man. He's in heaven today as God, and he's in heaven today as a man in a resurrected body. But he came into this world as a human in order that he might rescue you and I from sin and death. Philippians tells us this in Philippians 2:7-8. But he made himself of no reputation, and he took upon himself the form of a servant, a doulos, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, here it is, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. That's what he did. He emptied himself of his divine operational assets. He never used his deity to sustain his humanity while he was here. He lived like a man, thought like a man, ate like a man, walked like a man, and demonstrated to you that it is possible to live like this. And he followed his Father's orders all the way to the cross. As a man, the Lord Jesus Christ demonstrated how it's possible to live in the devil's world and glorify God to the maximum. And he did this by living the prototype spiritual life. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, tested and proved this spiritual life for us. We call it the prototype spiritual life because he was the first one to live it. The Christian life, he lived it. And he demonstrated it to us. So now you and I offer up spiritual sacrifices by the fulfillment of the stages of the adult spiritual life. Spiritual self-esteem, spiritual autonomy, eventually spiritual maturity. So that's what we do. God does not want us to offer sacrifices. He does not want offerings. He wants us to sacrifice him by learning to live and produce the spiritual life. Listen to Hosea 6:6. For I desire steadfast love and not sacrifice. There it is. The knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. That's what God wants from you. He wants you to understand him and know him. Hebrews 13:15. Through him let's continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. And that is the fruit of lips praising his name. Listen to Jeremiah 9:24. Let the one who boasts about this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who exercises mercy, justice, and righteousness on the earth, for these are the things I delight in, declares the Lord. I've told you this before, and I remind you, there's a difference between knowing God and understanding God, and I assure you, Satan does not want you to understand the God you know. If you don't understand the protocol plan of God and you wind up doing all the right things in the wrong way, neutralized by being dumbed down by the devil. Yep, you know all the words to the hymns, you know all the words to the praise and worship songs, but you don't understand the God you claim you worship, and you're not going to take time to correct the mistake, and that's pitiful. The spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God are simply as I'm about to put it to you right now. Stay filled with the Holy Spirit. That's called spirituality. How do you stay filled with the Holy Spirit? When you sin, confess the sin. Rebound, recover from the sin. Problem-solving device number one. The second spiritual sacrifice is Operation Z. What does that mean? It means you got to have a pastor. You got to have the filling of the Holy Spirit. You got to understand what he taught, and then you have to believe it and apply it into your life. We call it LAG, Learn, Apply, and Glorify God. Those two power options, the filling of the Holy Spirit and learning and applying the Word of God in your life, glorify God to the max. And the third spiritual sacrifice of those 10 problem-solving devices, we call the flatline of your soul. Rebound, filling of the Holy Spirit, faith rest drill, grace orientation, doctrinal orientation, personal sense of destiny, personal love for God, impersonal love for all, sharing the happiness of God, and lastly, occupation with the Lord Jesus Christ. And finally, as you fill with the Holy Spirit, sit under the ministry of a well-qualified pastor, learn and deploy those problem-solving devices in your life, you execute to the fullest of your ability the protocol plan of God, and you go from being a spiritual infant to being a spiritually mature individual, replicating and representing the life of Jesus Christ. So the question that I must ask you is, where are you in this process? Where are you today? Have you grown to become the spiritually mature individual we're talking about? The spiritual life is critical. If I ask you, how's your spiritual life, what would you say? Are you growing in grace? Are you representing Christ? Are you becoming the person that I'm talking about, filled with the Holy Spirit, operating Z, Operation Z, functioning under the well-qualified pastor, learning those 10 problem-solving devices, executing the protocol plan of God? There's a lot I just said. I rattled it off quick. I hope you're listening. If you don't understand it, get in contact with me. We got a book we'll send you called Christian Problem Solving. It lays it all out free of charge. Until next week, this is your host, Rick Hughes, saying thank you for listening to The Flatline.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054. Or online at www.rickhughesministries.org. The preceding program was paid for by Rick Hughes Evangelistic Ministries. The following program is paid for by Rick Hughes Evangelistic Ministries.
Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes. For the next few minutes, please stick around. It won't be long, just about 30 minutes of motivation, some inspiration, a whole lot of education, and done with no manipulation because we do not con people. We're not hustling money. We're not trying to sell you a product. We're not asking you to join anything. But we would like for you to listen. Listen as I try to verify and identify God's plan for your life. And if I'm able to do that, then you can orient and adjust to the plan if you want to. It's your life. Your decision, and remember, bad decisions limit future options. God gave you two ends, one to sit with and one to think with. Success in your life will depend on which one you use, I promise you. No one once said, heads you win, tails you lose, so listen carefully. In the last few shows, I mentioned to you that after the new year begins, we'll start dropping a few stations and adding some new ones. I've really been humbled by all the requests that have come in, both by email and voicemail, and where many have said, please don't quit broadcasting in my town. I assure you, we've been very cautious in making these decisions. I state again, it's not because of finances. That's not the point. God has faithfully provided all of our financial needs since we started this journey 20 years ago. These decisions are based on lack of interest in that specific location or that town where that show plays. And that just simply means there's no request coming in for material, no contact from listeners. So if you are in one of these locations, you can still access the show even if we go off the air on your local radio station by going to rickhughesministries.org on the internet, rickhughesministries.org. And if you will click on the tab that says Flatline, F-L-O-T, Flatline, then you can hear every show we've ever done. They are all posted there on the internet on our website for your listening 24 hours a day. You can also access the shows via podcast platforms such as Apple iPod or Spotify. Both are free apps. Both of them can be downloaded on your cell phone or your iPad tablet. So if you want to listen, you can do it that way as well in case we dropped your particular station in your town. But thank you for all of you that have called and said, please don't drop it in my city. We're taking that into consideration. Today, we'll wrap up our study on the family. If you just tuned in, let me bring you up to speed so you'll understand what I'm talking about. In the beginning of this series, I told you the family is one of God's divine institutions. Remember, there are four divine institutions that God has established for the orderly function of the human race. And these four divine institutions apply to Christians as well as non-Christians, regardless of race or gender. While dealing with the family, I began a study using family as an acrostic. We studied, for example, F stood for fathers, who are essential in the family. We studied A, that I said would deal with authority and authority orientation, which is critical in raising your children. We studied the word M for mothers, the letter M for mothers and their essential role in the family. We also took the letter L and related it to letter I, and related it to intercessory prayer, which is the job of each family member praying for one another. We took the letter L and related it to God's logistical grace provisions for all members of the human race, including family members. Today we will wrap up this study of the acrostic family by looking at the letter Y. What is Y going to stand for? I'm going to use Y to stand for your spiritual life. Your, Y-O-U-R, spiritual life. You know, I heard our outgoing president in a recent speech saying that we are in a struggle for the soul of America. I guess he was relating to the Democratic Party being in a struggle for the soul of America. I wondered what he meant by those words and what he was implying. And here is my conclusion. I know that every individual has a soul. There's no doubt about that. It's the invisible, immortal part of your personal makeup. For example, your body will die. I've done many funerals, conducted many funerals, and watched many people die, but their soul lives on forever, and hopefully in a resurrection body, hopefully enjoying eternity with their Heavenly Father. But I believe the soul possesses volition, which is your ability to choose. You choose to listen to this radio show. You can change the channel or turn off the radio, but if you're listening, you used your volition. You chose it. Your soul has mentality, and that's your ability to think, logic, reason, comprehend, and conclude. Your soul has a conscience, and this is where you house all of your norms and standards. What's right, what's wrong, freedom, privacy, patriotism, things like this. So you have norms and standards in your soul, and that's exactly what parents are supposed to plant, good norms and standards in the lives of their young people. And your soul has a self-consciousness, and this is an undue awareness of one's appearance or one's action. So, in other words, you can go stand in front of a mirror with five other people and pick yourself out. You have self-consciousness. The mentality of the soul is where we're supposed to have insight, where we're supposed to have discernment and understanding, three critical things in your life you must have if you're going to make good decisions. Insight, discernment, and understanding. The question we have to ask is, how do you dumb down the soul of an individual? And the answer is simple, change the way they think. If you can change the way they think, you can infiltrate a person's mentality, then obviously you can control their decisions. Progressive politics in our current nation is an attempt to change the way young people think. It begins with a public lie. If you tell it often enough, if you tell it long enough, then people will begin to believe it. And by the way, this is a tactic of the devil. It's his specialty. In John 8:44, our Lord Jesus Christ made these words. He said these words, "You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do." He's talking to the religious crowd now, the scribes and Pharisees, the Sadducees that were persecuting him. He went on to say about Satan, he was a murderer from the beginning. He does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks, he speaks a lie. He speaks from his own resources because he is a liar and the father of all lies. Lying is interesting. It's a type of manipulation. When our Lord said in John 8:32, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free," he wasn't talking about you shall know a lie, and the lie will deceive you and entrap you. Truth frees you. Our Lord Jesus Christ was implying that by understanding who He is, and by putting your trust in Him for your eternal salvation, then you will be redeemed from sin and free from satanic deception. Listen to John 8:12. "Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, 'I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, thank goodness, but have the light of life.'" Notice again in John 8:23 and 24, He said to them, "You are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins, for if you do not believe that I am He, you will die in your sins." If you are redeemed from the slave market of sin, if you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, no longer do you have to walk in darkness, and that's the lie. You no longer do you have to be deceived. You can have the light of life, or the light of the Word of God in your soul that gives you insight, discernment, and understanding. Your spiritual life that we're talking about, the critical piece for the family, the spiritual life of each individual in that family, the father, the mother, the siblings, the youth, the brothers, the sisters, that begins the moment they believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior. That's called being born again, the biblical term, born again. Once you make that decision, you begin a new life. "He that believes in Him shall never perish and have everlasting life, and he that believes not, the wrath of God abides on him already." And Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, told Nicodemus personally in John 3:16 that he needed to be born again. What exactly is born again mean? What's he talking about? Well, in 2 Corinthians 5:17, again, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ," and that's what happens when you get saved, "you are a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." That's obviously when I received Christ as my Savior back in 1967. I didn't change outside. I still looked the same. Still big, ugly guy as I always was, but inside something changed. Inside, I had a new life in Christ. I had a dead human spirit that was made alive. See, I was born physically alive, but spiritually dead. And by receiving Christ as my Savior, I was made spiritually alive. That's when my spiritual life began. The moment I believed in Christ and accepted Him as my Savior, I became a third person. I have a body, I have a soul that lives forever, and I have a human spirit indwelled by God, the Holy Spirit, that allows me to have a relationship with God the Father. So if I have this new life, which I do, it required a new way of thinking. So, in other words, now that I'm a Christian, and now that Christ lives in me, now that my human spirit is made alive by means of the Holy Spirit, now I have to learn how to think and not think the lie. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus," the Apostle Paul wrote. In other words, you have to learn to think like he thought, and humility was his mindset. There may be things you believed in the past in your life, but now, once you accept Christ as your Savior, you have to recover from that retarded way of thinking. Thus, we have the new spiritual life. Your spiritual life, a new way of living, the new you inside. No one will see it on the outside, but God will recognize it because He is a spirit, and those that worship Him, the Bible says, must worship Him in spirit and in truth. This new spiritual life requires you learn how to function in it. What are your assets? What are your abilities that you now possess? What is this new spiritual life? Hopefully we'll be able to have a book out about this very soon. My friends and I are working on this book, and we're trying to get it all together about your spiritual life so that you'll be able to comprehend it, understand it, and pass it on to other people if you'd like to. But it begins with a new way of thinking, as I said. Learn how to think. That's why we have mandates like 2 Peter 3:18. That's a mandate. That's a command from God through the Apostle Peter. Here's what he said. 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in the grace and in the knowledge of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is not a request, that's a mandate. Grow is a verb, and in that verb we do the morphology of that verb, and we know from the Greek morphology that that is a present, active, imperative verb. He's not asking believers to grow, he's telling them to grow. And grow in what? In the grace, prepositional phrase, in the grace and knowledge of what? Of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So here's what you can get from that. If you're not growing, you're sinning. If you're not growing, you're sinning. How would you know if you're growing? Well, are you learning anything? Are you learning any new biblical concepts? Are you studying the Scripture? You shouldn't go a week or two living the same life. You're supposed to learn. Look at an infant. They learn how to crawl. They learn how to walk. They learn how to talk. They learn how to eat. They learn how to stand. They learn how to whatever. You have to learn these things. And that's why you're told by the Apostle Peter, grow up as a Christian. Learn about grace. What do you know about grace? Saving grace, living grace, dying grace, surpassing grace. All grace provisions. What do you know about our Lord Jesus Christ? Undiminished deity, true humanity, and one body forever. We call that the hypostatic union. He who knew no sin was made sin for us. There's knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There's a lot in that verse. If I just took 2 Peter 3:18 and taught that verse in a local church to a Sunday school class or even to a congregation, I could teach on that verse for a while. That's why we have the mandate. Spiritual growth. For the spiritual life requires that we study the Scriptures and we apply what we learn, if we learn anything. Why do we have to apply it? So we can replicate the life of Christ and thus introduce the world to Him. The profile of an individual with a fully developed spiritual life is found in Galatians 5:22 and 23. Check this out against your own profile, your personality traits. See if any of this applies to you. I call it the personality trait of a mature believer or the profile of the spiritual life. The fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22 and 23, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Now, how long do you think I could teach on that one? If I taught a class on this, we could spend a whole lot of time talking about the virtue of love and personal love and personal love. Some friend of mine were talking to me the other day about why did the Lord Jesus Christ go to the cross? Why did he just not tell the Father, no, I'm not going to do it? He did pray, if this is your will, let this cup pass away from me, but nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Why was that? Because he loved his Heavenly Father. Personal love for God is so great that it motivates us to be obedient. And he was obedient to his Heavenly Father's will, even to death. So we could study love for a long time. And joy is a mental attitude. Peace is a mental attitude. Long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. My goodness, we could study all of this. One verse at a time, one word at a time. And it may take as much as a year to go through that verse and break every one of those down so we would understand what each one of them is. That's the profile that the mature believer has in his spiritual life. Personality traits like this are a replication of what our Lord Jesus Christ thought while he functioned in the devil's world. And they can also be yours if, and I say if, conditional clause, if you follow the protocol plan of God. And that plan is best observed by understanding and using the plot line in your soul. That's why God gave it to you, so that you can have a plot line. 10 unique problem-solving devices that encapsulate your spiritual life. Your spiritual life can't function without rebound. That's 1 John 1:9. Your spiritual life can't function without the filling of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:18. Your spiritual life cannot function without the faith rest drill. Your spiritual life cannot function without orienting to grace and orienting to the Word of God. Grace orientation. Doctrinal orientation. Your spiritual life cannot function without a personal sense of destiny, understanding, knowing what God's plan for your life is, what your spiritual gift is, and where God designed you to serve. Your spiritual life can't function without having personal love for God, which is your motivational virtue, and impersonal love for everyone, which is your functional virtue. And if all these things are at work in your life, you will share the happiness of God, and you will be occupied with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the flat line in your soul, those 10 unique problem-solving devices. If you don't know them, why don't you write to me and get the book, Christian Problem Solving. We list them all and we break them all down in the book, Christian Problem Solving. And it's free. Just go to my website, click on the books, and go down to the bottom and order Christian Problem Solving. And we will send you the book on the Christian Problem Solving flatline of your soul so you'll understand how each one of them works, okay? Please do that. So now listen, as a parent, or even a grandparent, if I'm talking to you, you may be a grandparent like my wife and I. Your job is to protect the soul of your precious children or your grandchildren. How do we do that? Well, we do that by planting the Word of God in their soul's mentality at a very young age. Maybe by just having them bow their head and say the blessing. They learn that there is a God and you're asking God to bless the food. Why do you say the blessing? So you don't get sick. You pray over the food for God to sanctify it, set it apart so it doesn't make you sick, and thank Him for what He gave you. That's why. So we do that with our grandchildren and our children just to instill the idea that there is a God and He is in charge. Don't forget the devil wants to hijack the thinking of your children and hijack the thinking of your grandchildren. And he will use all available means to do this. He wants to battle for your soul, as the ex-president said. We're in a war for the battle for the soul of the American people. No, we're not. We're in a war to lift up Christ and make Him plain. We're in a battle for their spiritual life, for their eternal life. Subtle messages in TV, cartoons, internet websites, social media influence, all these things are mostly designed to lure the spiritually retarded person into the cosmic vortex, where destruction and disaster will be guaranteed in his life. That's why 1 Peter 5:8 said, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks around like a roaring lion, seeking who he can devour." You have a choice. If you're a believer, if you're not growing, you're going to become lion bait. And I don't have to tell you what a lion does after he eats. That's what you're going to wind up being, a pile of lion defecation. I hope that's not true, but unless you learn the Word of God, unless you sober up and are vigilant, unless you begin to understand and apply the Word of God to your spiritual life, that's exactly what's going to happen to you. You're going to die. You're going to go to heaven. You're going to have eternal life, but you're not ever going to replicate the life of Christ. You're never going to be able to represent Him to your friends. You're never going to be able to bring God any glory because you functioned outside the flat line. You didn't have a flat line. You never learned the plan of God for your life. You made your own plan up. You did things your way. As many times as I encourage you to get under the ministry of a well-qualified pastor, and yet you don't do it. You say, "Oh, well, I just listen to you on Sunday morning and I get a little nice little message." That's not what my radio show's about. I'm not here to give you a nice little message. I'm here to challenge you to grow up, to get with it, so that your spiritual life will take centerpiece, so that you will be able to glorify God to the maximum, and your family will have a maximum impact in this nation. To most conservative individuals, it appears that God may have granted a reprieve to this nation by allowing a person of their choice to be installed as the next president coming up very soon. It's the hope of many that this next person that would have been elected will help us restore traditional values to our national institutions. Perhaps those things will happen. I hope it does. But I caution you not to depend on a man and not to depend on a woman to restore order or to bring change to this ailing nation. Listen to what the Scriptures say. Hebrews 17:5, "Thus say the Lord, cursed is the man who puts his trust in man and who makes man his strength, flesh his strength, from whose heart will depart from the Lord." So the true solution to the stability, the peacefulness, the prosperous function in our nation lies in your spiritual life, in your soul's mentality, because that's where it is. As goes that, so goes your spiritual life. So goes the course of this nation. Perhaps you've heard me quote these verses that talk about God's discipline on a nation. But I want to listen. I want you to listen to them again, okay? Hosea 4, 1 through 3. Listen carefully. See if you can figure out why a nation goes under divine discipline and is destroyed, nations such as ours. Hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel, for the Lord brings a charge against the inhabitants of the land. Hosea 4, 1 through 3. There is no truth, no mercy, and no knowledge of God in the land. By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, well, that's America right there. They break all restraint with bloodshed upon bloodshed. Therefore the land will mourn, and everyone who dwells there will waste away with the beast of the field, and the birds of the air, even the fish of the sea, will be taken away. Now you may ask, why would these things happen to a nation like America? Well, the answer is found in the following verses, Hosea 4, 6. Here it is. Listen carefully. My people, and we believe we are, America is God's land, are destroyed, and we can be, for lack of knowledge. Knowledge. Because you rejected knowledge, I will reject you from being a priest nation for me. Because you forgot the laws of your God, I will forget your children. That's why it's critical that you have a spiritual life, so that your children will have freedom in the future. Because as goes your spiritual life, so goes the freedom of this nation. National degeneration is a result of failing to anchor your spiritual life in the Word of God. I don't care who we elect as our leader. If we continue to ignore the mandates to grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, then national destruction is just a matter of time. So I encourage you to make your spiritual life priority number one by staying filled with the Holy Spirit and by getting under the ministry of a well-qualified pastor who can shepherd your soul. Because if you continue to put your hope in a politician, you're going to be disillusioned and eventually disappointed. One well-qualified, squared-away pastor-teacher is much more valuable than any political leader, I promise you. The spiritual life of the mature Christian will represent Christ to those in his periphery and will bring the gospel to those who are lost. Your ministry and my ministry on this planet is not to promote a political party, but to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ and declare God's plan for all. Romans 10:14 says, how shall they call upon him whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they've not heard? And how can they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they're sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace and who bring glad tidings of good things. So I leave you this morning with one final thought. The impact of the spiritually mature believer can be visible or invisible, but very powerful. Blessing by association to others, national blessing as a member of the pivot which stabilizes the nation, international impact through missionary outreach, angelic impact by being a witness for the prosecution of Satan and his attempt to avoid eternal damnation in the lake of fire, this powerful, invisible impact will only be revealed in eternity at the judgment seat of Christ. That's why your spiritual life is so important. Gee, I hope you're listening. I hope you're paying attention. We can provide these notes for you in a transcript if you need us. Just get a hold of us through our website or contact us at our 800 number. We'll be glad to help you. If you call, remember, we don't always answer the phone early in the morning on Sunday morning, okay? So remember that. If you want to call 800-831-0718, 800-831-0718, we'll do all we can to provide you with this information. But my prayer is you'll get under the ministry of a well-qualified pastor. You'll grow in grace and you'll replicate the life of Christ. That's my prayer for you. So thank you for listening this morning. Thank you for listening to my series on the family. Beginning next week, we'll move into a new topic. So until then, this is your host, Rick Hughes, saying thank you so much for listening to The Flatline.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054, or online at www.rickhughesministries.org. The preceding program was paid for by Rick Hughes Evangelistic Ministries.
news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.